I want to caveat on what Mr. Mendez touched on a couple of days ago about hurricanes and the aftermath and things like that. My intro on this sermonette was going to be a little bit different than what I'm saying now, that you can see now that the people are working together to find a solution, to find comfort. You have people that have everything taken away from them. I'm talking about the hurricanes. And now, not too long ago, the horrific earthquake that happened in Mexico City. Now, to give you a visual on that, I have family in Mexico City, and I've traveled all around that area. And what it did, what the earthquake did, it started in a town close to Puebla, Mexico. Puebla is, I'd say, for our purposes, like Robstown to Corpus. It started there, and in some videos you can see where the land is just caving in, and it's just moving down a valley. And you can see where it's just cracking and going through, heading towards Mexico City. And you saw people there that were, you know, lost everything. And you saw heroism, and you saw Mr. Roybal sent him an email to us, those of us that have email, and he sent on some of the brethren there in Mexico City did have damage to their homes. I think Mr. Moody helped send that forward, that over. And there's an elder in Mexico City, Alfredo Lopez, and his wife had just left the building. And the building collapsed behind them. Now, not to caveat, but my daughter worked as an ER, a trauma nurse in Bentop. And when we were having, the hurricane was approaching us, she was there at the emergency room, and she received a prisoner. And they had, it's a level one trauma. For those of you who don't know what level one, anything with a puncture wound, bullets and whatever. And she was tending there, and the guard said, okay, I want you to take care of this prisoner quick. Decide what you're going to do with him. You're going to either put him in the hospital or we're going to take him with us. And she's taking with you. Yeah, we're evacuating. And she said, and this is after the mayor of Houston said, stand in place. You know, this is going to, it's probably going to Corpus, and it's probably going to head up to San Antonio. So nobody in Houston really left. So she said, if the prison's leaving, we're leaving. So I'm going back to what we're saying, you know, angels come and they say something, say subtleties to you to leave a certain place or to move yourself. And when we heed that, we say, wow. You know, and I'm pretty sure the elder Alfredo Lopez said pretty much the same thing. But it's going back to what we're saying, people lost everything. Before that, they were so engulfed in Facebook, so engulfed in their phones. They spent time more to people that were hundreds of miles away from them rather than with the person right in front of them. So there was little human interaction. So people who would normally control their outbursts don't know how to control their outbursts. You're coming with a whole generation that are cybernetically desensitized. They say things on Facebook or on email, and they empty their feelings onto it, only to find out that it's just a big embarrassment to them. They lose their job, they lose their friends, and some children has even, they're causing suicides. They release their feelings on freeways also. So that desensitization travels onto the freeways. It travels onto the work. They travel onto the stores. I heard somewhere that my brother was talking to me this morning that he was in line to stand in line. Does that make sense? And that line was to go in somewhere. And it was in Houston. He had some event to go to, and he had to stand in line to stand in line. Does that make sense? Well, this man comes from nowhere and thought he was privileged. He cut right in front of everybody. And my brother was a little short-tempered than I am. And he told him where to go, and that's when I found myself, he caught himself saying, wait a minute. And he just left. So this is nuts. So people are releasing themselves on social media because they really don't know how to deal with other people. They don't talk with other people as much. Many to deal with the problems or seek mental escape. A lot of people seek mental escape. Drugs, alcohol abuse, inhaling potpourri, you know, bath salts and synthetic drugs. Did you know that, on the news several days ago, 400 people die a day in the United States because of opioid addiction, overdose. And that's Tylenol 3, by the way, you know. All this to get out of reality. People want to get out of their problems. They don't want to deal with their problems, only to end up much worse where they started. Mental breakdown comes from our infantry people that fought wars in Afghanistan. 17 years now. We've been fighting in Afghanistan for 17 years. Many have lost their loved ones also to law enforcement. Law enforcement have lost record number of lives this year. In Corpus Christi alone, their crime has risen sharply. The sense of security for many Americans have been lost. My sermon today, brethren, is about keeping a sound mind. When I went to go see Margaret, my daughter, who went to Houston to help her with, she had 2 or 3 feet of water in her house. The water had subsided, but, you know, when I was going through her neighborhood, it was looking like I'd gone through a war zone. I saw people on the side of on the porches of their houses with their hands, their head between their legs, and just, they don't know what to do. They had lost everything. And people wandering up and down the neighborhoods really don't, they're like if they were stunned. 43.8 million Americans experience mental illness each year. And that's something that the media doesn't really like to talk about. They like to stuff things, that start segment of society in the corner. Japan is very good at that. That's 1 in 5 adults experience mental illness. 2.5 million Americans adult live with schizophrenia. 6.1 million Americans live with bipolar disorder. And 16 million Americans live with major depression. Another 42 million live with anxiety disorder. With such disarray, the need for Christians to draw closer to God increases. We are a gift, brethren. We have a gift, and sometimes we take it for granted, that we have a relationship with God. That we can, if we are in a pickle, we can read scripture and we can pray about it, and he will comfort. The comforter has come. Watching the news and reading about the terrible things occurring today, we might question whether anyone has a sound mind. Human thinking can be biased and distorted with human emotion and false thinking. Is it even possible to have sound mindedness in this age today? The Bible tells yes, it is possible. But in order to have the right thinking, we need to acknowledge a few things first. Follow me, brethren, to Romans. Paul to Romans, first chapter, verse 21. 1:21. Many of these people in today's societies focus on what they have done, what they have accomplished, what they have built as a priority. And by doing so, towards the end of their lives or when they reach some sort of bump in the road, they collapse. Or they put all their on their feelings or what they feel is should be right. Let's read this. Although they knew God, talking about society, they did not glorify him. We know there's God out there. But no, we don't have time for him. Only enough when we have a hurricane or when we have a earthquake. Nor were thankful, but became futile in our thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Many in today's society are in the dark, brethren. Isaiah said that on numerous occasions. They're groping in the dark. Let's go to jump over to verse 28. And even as they did not retain God in their knowledge. Okay, let me stop there. Remember, we've heard about meditating, having God in our minds. They refused to have God in their minds. God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things that are not fitting. And I say, well, so what's a debased mind? Well, debased mind, for those of you who don't know, is a homosexual mind. Or another one, translation says a form, the blatant form of idolatry. Let's read 29, verse 29. Let's jump over that. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, they are whisperers. Verse 30. Haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. There was a segment in the news a week ago where that they arrested a man in New York who stabbed a horse. One of those police that have a horse mounted. They have the mounted police there in New York. Well, he stabbed a horse and he arrested him. He said it was because the horse was racist. I mean, something like a body like that is not in the right mind. Undiscerning. They do not know what is right or what is wrong. My brother just went to Washington, D.C., and he came back and he said, you know what I saw? He said, somebody spray painted the Lincoln Memorial. And they put down racist or Nazi. They put down Nazi right there under Abraham Lincoln. So they don't know what they're doing. Untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Verse 32. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Those that are in charge approve of, burning, looting. Those who approve of that are just as bad. We read this, brethren, for a reason. It's wordy, but it's for a reason. So every word, every adjective reassures us what we are up against. We really don't know what it is until we feel the heat of the barbecue pit. You know when you feel it? It also reminds us not to go to this direction, brethren. Do not say, this can't happen to me. Instead, ask God for his spirit to fortify and to guide us. Many say there is no God. Example, I brought you a couple of sermons ago about comedian Janie Fisher. Psalm 14:1 says that a fool that says in his or her own ear, there is no God. Many in this society believe that, so they pursue it. I don't know if anyone heard the or saw the United Nations address when the president addressed the United Nations. He mentioned God in his speech several times, and they just tore it up. Liberal media tore it up, but he asked God to help the United States because he himself recognizes that we are in trouble. For instance, Sigmund Freud describe God as an illusion. An illusion created by humanity to fulfill our infantile need for a strong father figure. That's Sigmund Freud. According to this thinking, religion may have been a useful controlling the violent tendencies of a developing civilization, but is unnecessary now when we can turn to reason and science. This is Sigmund Freud talking. I wonder how's that working out for us. Looking at the continuing conflicts between people and nations and the deepening confusion about how to achieve lasting happiness and avoid devastating heartache, it seems humanity is not truly found sound reasoning. God has commanded us to be separate. Not to stick our head in the hole, not to put walls around ourselves and not talk to anybody, but we're being separate now, brother. We're being separate by not doing what everybody else is doing. Many people, the world is coming to an end. In a 6 o'clock news yesterday, the lady was very irate because she lived in Potter Island and she saw a coyote kill one of her dogs and jumped over her 6 foot fence in a single bound. I thought that was pretty tremendous for a coyote with a dog, 25 pound dog in its mouth, and the person asking, did he take a running leap? No, right there where he stood, just jumped over. That is pretty strong animal. Coyote weighs maybe 40 pounds. Romans 12, brother. Romans 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1 and verse through 2. And Paul is saying, get a load of this. He says, I beseech you. He's talking to the brethren there in Romans. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Okay, Paul is begging them. He says, I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that we provide ourselves a living sacrifice. In other words, the hedge of protection that we ask for, we're going to get it. But there's going to be a time that we're not going to get that. We're going to get bullied. We're going to get singled out. We're going to get any of the above. That holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Your reasonable, that's what your service is. Stephen, the elder, had his body as a holy, acceptable to God while he was getting stoned. You know, have you ever gotten hit by a stone? I remember we used to, when I was a kid, that's where we used to play around with chunking stones. And they hurt. Now, I just imagine getting stoned by hundreds of people. That's a slow death, brethren. Very painful. Verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your body. No, your mind. That you may prove that what is that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's God's will. For we're working on our mind, brethren. We as ambassadors are to do the will of God. Did you notice Paul, like I said, he was begging his people. That's what Paul is doing to us. To have a sound mind. Don't let them take that away from you. And you say, who's going to take that mind away from you? Oh yeah. Don't let them mess with your mind. You've heard that. You know, we've heard, those of us that are in the sports avenue heard that. Don't let them mess with your mind. He was very emphatic back then. Who can mess with your mind? Satan. Demons. Went to Catholic school and the nuns would tell me, say, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. And if I know it was just a cliche saying, but Scripture says basically the same thing. Satan is not interested in your body, he's interested in your mind. Mark 5:1. I'm not going to go there, but you can read it on your own. He's talking about where Jesus met this man that was possessed. And he said, what's your name? Legions. Legion, a legion. What's a legion? 3,000 to 6,000. So that was the man, the name of the demons that was in this man. Margaret says, my daughter tells me that there's people that come into the emergency room that six police officers are holding them down and dragging them. And when they finally, you know, sedate him and he wakes up 24 hours later, 36 hours, because they put an IV in him because he's just completely out. Because of opioid or potpourri, I can't even pronounce it. And they don't even know what day it is, what happened to them. And he said, whatever possessed him. Yes, through the radio waves of his teachings. You don't have to do that. You know, you have a free will. You can do with whatever you want. The self-first image, the mindset of I know what I'm doing. I don't need anyone to tell me what is right or what is wrong. That's why we write a book saying, what happened? I don't know if you've seen that. Hillary Clinton wrote a book, and her title of her book is What Happened? Referring to that initial. We have the right to express ourselves, to show our inner feelings, society says. Our lifestyles, this world of material gain, power, money, controlling people and lives. Do not get involved with that, brethren. People love power and money. They don't know how to handle it. The apostles also give example. Apostle Paul also give example of that mindset. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. You can find that in Philippians 2, verses 3 and 5. But he also adds, but in lowliness of mind, humility. Love our neighbor, Paul was stating to the Philippians. If you are focused on helping your neighbor, that means a lot of people, brother. Just imagine if we were focused on just that. We would be busy because there's a lot of people who need help. We won't have time to have left to satisfy our own needs. Can we even imagine a world like that where people would always show concerns for each other? In Mexico, I don't know if you saw in the Mexican news, they have people, they formed human chains. And they have these service dogs that are looking for people that the buildings have collapsed on them, and the service dog is going nuts. You know, he's trying to dig because they're trained for that. And so much so that they have to put pads on them because they're bleeding their paws. But they get these one concrete and block, and they send it to another person, another person, another person, till the very end of the pile, there's a dump truck somewhere, and they dump it in there. That's these. And my cousin's involved in it right now. He works for for a brokerage firm in Mexico. But he's in there. He said, we're 6 hour turns. He says, I go for 6 hours, and there's another 300 people who come, and they work for another 6 hours. Another 300 people after that goes. So there's three shifts of 300. That's just one line, but just to give you an example of what's going on over there. Because heavy equipment, you know, they're trying to get heavy equipment, but if you're piles and piles of concrete, there's no way you can get it. And the dog smells somebody, and he's going nuts. So they're going digging and digging and digging and digging. There's one dog that they found out that it was just exhausted. It just fell for exhaustion. And finally they got to the little boy that was like 300 feet deep, and they got to him, but the dog smelled him. And they had put IV in the dog to get it going again. But that just shows you what the drive is. And there's a lot of people that are mentally broken, brother. mentally broken. There's a lot of people, and we've heard that, or they've said that God did this to us, or why did God let this happen? Where people would calm and peacefully and willing to yield if they would just have a relationship with God, if they were their calling. That's our calling too, brother. That is the kind of world God desires for all people, to be calm, to help each other. And it will come once Jesus returns. I can just imagine, brethren, on the world tomorrow, what kind of jobs we will have. But until the kingdom of God begins to rule on earth, the pressure's on. The world seeking is so pervasive that we must be careful not to fall back into having an unsound mind. Angry opinions and vicious comments. It seems they're right. It seems right to a man to on what they are doing. Proverbs 14:12 says that. It seems right on what direction their lifestyle is. And as we internalize God's way of thinking, we need to develop a sound mindedness. And by that is going through the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And the most important question, will you do what it takes to develop a sound mind that God promises? Are we going to be doing like those rescue dogs? Digging and digging and digging until the paws are all, because they know there's somebody 300 feet deep. Until they're totally exhausted. Brethren, God wants you, but he wants you with a sound mind, brethren. Don't give it up. Don't give up our crown. Fear God and keep his commandments. For those are the ingredients for a sound mind.